Okay, Tim, when you're ready, we're good to go.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is an advice podcast. Remember, if you do take advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which, let's face it, whichever way you look at it, that is a horrible idea. I need a divorce. Why? Anton Deck told me to. Hey, everyone, I'm jacking my job to move to Australia. Why? Alan Titchmarsh said it would be a good idea. Anyway, Mark is here to keep me in check. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tim. That was I really like that idea. I think you've just come up with a new TV format.
I've got some great celebrity formats. I'll discuss them with you afterwards because most of them are rude.
What would Bobby Davro do?
That's... yeah, that's it. What would Bobby Davro do? I've got some real problems, but what would Bobby do? Are you well, Mark?
I am very well, thank you. Apart from my skin.
Oh, what's happened to your skin?
Well, I've introduced coconut oil to my diet, you know, my fatty diet thing.
Pourquoi? That's why in French. Just so you don't look stupid.
Thanks for spoon feeding me that bit of French there. Yeah. Just seeing if it worked in the diet. And
does it? No.
No, it's given me actual, like, I always have this thing, I get really cross. You know when you get older and you go bald and you go grey?
Yeah.
And you think, now is the time for the spots to stop. You shouldn't. Yeah. They shouldn't mix. But now I've got spots and I'm bald.
Yeah, you look good though.
Thanks
You're
very
looking
much,
good
Tim.
At the moment. I am trying to learn French. I decided to try. I downloaded one of those.
Are you
going to
just drop some words in every now and again? Like, pourquoi? But then tell me.
I just thought, wouldn't it be brilliant to be able to speak another language? And so I've just got one of those apps, but I get bored of it. You know, you've done 3 days in a row.
Can you do it like Partridge and get it wrong though? Right. So when he says aqua, which is French for water.
Right. Okay. On this week's show, we're getting stuck into the debate again. Should men pay on the first date? That continues. Long distance relationships, that's mentioned as well. How to cope with man flu, and got other stuff in there, but I can't remember what it is at the moment, but we'll get to it. Let's start with an update. Roman Krasnarik, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was good, wasn't he, Mark? Did you enjoy him?
I thought he was... it was fantastic, yeah.
If you don't know, he's got a book out called Carpe Diem, and it's basically...
Carpe Diem.
Carpe Diem, sorry.
It's not a fishing book.
Fish book, yeah, it's a fishing book. Carpe Diem. He got me thinking, especially about the hedonism bit, because I've read loads of these self-help books, and I spend a lot of my time reading all this stuff. The aim of it is to be in total control of yourself at all time. And so hedonism goes out of the window. And I actually think, you know, he was right about that. Every now and then just go a bit mad and do something a little bit wild. Why not? Anyway, if you haven't listened to that, listen to it. It was in last week's podcast. Number 33.
We're building slowly up to that classic 36th anniversary.
36, yeah. I'm also quite reserved because of my job as well. Because being a TV presenter, you can't do anything.
What do you mean?
Well, if you get caught out, people just ask for you to be sacked, you know what I mean? So you can't really be seen to be falling out of clubs drunk anymore. When I first started in the industry, I'd get drunk all the time and fall out of clubs and do whatever, but there wasn't mobile phones around.
I don't think I've ever fallen out of a club.
No.
I've been thrown out of one literally by the scruff of my neck.
Oh, really? What for?
By a woman who looked like Brian May, who was a bouncer.
What? Where were you?
In Southampton.
Oh. What'd you done?
I went round... Do you want to hear this?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't care, but it's up to you.
I went around the side of a bar and...
Helped yourself?
No, I shot the staff with the Coke gun.
Why?
Because they kept ignoring me.
Oh, wow. That is... Do you know what?
I got thrown... You know, like Jazzy Jeff got thrown out of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's house? Landed on the floor.
I landed on the floor
and I looked up and my coat hit me. Oh, it was really? like cartoonish.
That's good. I do hate that when you go to a bar and you're just ignored.
Yeah, I think it's constantly. Just rude.
And the thing is, I've worked behind bars and you actually, unless you're really rubbish, you do know
who's
next.
You do know. They were just ignoring me.
Yeah, yeah. And you can always just say who is next and polite people go, he was or she was.
Or you just go around there and... You know.
Or you go and squirt them with the Coke gun. Yeah.
Have you ever heard anyone else do that before?
No, I haven't. So you've done a very good job.
Carpe diem, Tim.
Carpe diem. Hedonism in its full flow. Not sure that's hedonistic. Right, we asked for... do you know what else he did, by the way, Roman? Is he asked me, he phoned me up, and he asked me for a quote for his paperback.
Did he?
Yeah, I was kind of chuffed that I'd be used to sell books, Mark. So I gave him a little quote. Yeah, he wanted to stick it on the the back of the book. Yeah, it's the first time that's happened to me. I've been used, quoted, in a book. So... yeah, that was quite an exciting thing.
Can you say
thing.
What you said, or are you going to leave it to when it comes
I can't
out?
Remember.
Okay, but you did mean it.
I did. Oh yeah, I like it. I like. Yeah. I love all these books. I love all these people that we get on the show.
What's great about this, actually, just quickly, is that we're only getting on stuff that we like.
Yeah.
Which is why you do a podcast, isn't it?
Exactly right. Exactly right. And I read all these books that are sent through, and they all make sense. And it. I don't know what if you're out there and you're feeling a bit low, start reading all these books that these people are writing that we got on the show, because they just actually make you feel a bit better.
Or listen to them. There's no harm in listening to stuff.
Understand. What, the audiobook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because actually, I heard someone the other day point out, very quickly, someone point out that we've been listening to people much longer than we have been reading them.
Yeah.
We've only been reading for, ever since the printing press, 600 years, whatever. But we've been listening to people for thousands of years. So there's nothing wrong. I always think people think you're a bit thick if you only listen to audiobooks.
Well, I listened to the Dalai Lama's book.
Yeah. It's all right. It's okay to listen.
That's hard work.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. To start off with, you go, okay, I get all this. You know me, Mark, a practicing Buddhist. I'm not, by the way.
You're not quite there yet.
I quite like Buddhism, though. It kind of fascinates me a bit. I'm quite intrigued by it. But I listened to the Dalai Lama's book, but... gets very, I mean, give it a go. It's just after a while you're like, you've got to do it.
Have to read it with your legs sort of?
I listened to it.
Oh, you listened to it?
I listened to it meditative post. I listened to them driving around in the car, actually. That's what I was doing. Anyway, I'm very excited because the next person we've got on, great interview next week, talking about books that I like and reading, is we've got Megan Hine come on. Now, the problem with Megan coming on is I really want her to be my friend. I've become quite obsessed with her because I really enjoyed her book. Her book has moved really rapidly into my top 10 great books of all times. The simplicity of what she said. By the way, her book's called A Mind of a Survivor. And if you don't know who she is, she's one of those person who works on those. I don't know what you call her, actually. Let me see what they call her. A survivalist or something? I don't know what the actual thing is. But she works with Bear Grylls and all that lot. Okay. And she goes out. But she's so... obsessed with getting out and about in the countryside that she just goes off on her own all the time and just does it. And I'm trying to see what she's called. Anyway, I'm going to call her a survivalist. I'll ask her what she's called when she comes on. But yeah, I really like her her book. It's been fascinating. So I'm looking forward to meeting her and interviewing her all about that. But just actually to explain, her book is actually... about, it's like a self-help book, but based on her experiences of being a survivor. And it really resonated with me. That's the thing. It really made sense. Let's start this podcast, shall we, Mark, with the huge debate that has taken over everybody's lives out there who listen to the Dear Love Joy podcast. It's made quite a splash on Twitter. Should men pay on first dates? Should men pay on every date? Essex.
Sorry, you mean... as a complete rule,
yeah.
Not just they should never. You mean they should? They should always pay.
Is it the done thing for men to pay on first dates? Nadia Essex, when she was on our show a few weeks ago, she said that men should always pay. We questioned that, and everybody else has been talking about it and questioning it. People have been talking to me about it everywhere I go. I just think most of my peer group, most of my friends, don't seem to think it matters. And I imagine if you were to talk to younger people, which I haven't, I should ask my kids what they would say about it. They're 15, they should be dating soon. I just think it would feel really old-fashioned for them, and I think it would feel against equality for them. Do you?
I don't know what your children think, Tim.
All right, I'm talking about young people. Do you think for them it would just feel really old-fashioned? All right, but listen.
Possibly, because they don't go to the pub anymore, do they? Because that's what old people do. Have you seen that news story this week?
No.
Yeah, kids don't go to the pub anymore because that's what the older generations do, and it's just like not cool.
What do they do?
I don't know.
Sit
it's not
home.
Netflix and chill, is it? Because I found out what that meant the other day.
All right, I've got I've just dug a load off Twitter. Yeah, to tell you people's opinions. British Blue said, my first dates are normally coffee, so I'm happy to pay. That was an idea that was put forward to Nadia. She didn't like it, but
it was not greeted well, was it?
No, but I think that's a great idea. Yeah. You know, especially in this day of multi dating, and well, I say multi dating is because people are having masses of online Tinder dates. What's the point in wasting money and time? It just sounds so unromantic, this. But if that is the way you're doing your dates, what is the point? Just turn up, see if you like them, have a cup of coffee if you do make a proper date. If it's someone you've actually met in real life, then maybe it's different. You actually go and take them out for dinner.
Trying to think what multi-dating would be called in the old days in our time. I was trying to think of omni-courting.
Omni-courting. Yeah, maybe. People couldn't multi-date when we were... It didn't exist because you had to actually walk up to people and ask them out. You're not going to do that too many times, are you? It's so intimidating. Whereas on Tinder, you could just play a numbers game. I've heard about famous people. They go and they ask 6 or 7 girls to turn up to a nightclub the night they're going to be there. And then they just pick the best one. I mean, that is just... It's horrific, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
Can
not
you
great.
Imagine being one of those girls? Hey, I'm the lucky winner. If you realise there were 6 other girls there, I'm just leaving.
It's not that Craig David song. He's got one for one day a week, one for every day of the week.
It's true. It's true. They're doing it like those sort of people. Ian Hooker says, yes, if they're going to see each other again or if he decides not to, if the woman decides against a second date, he should insist on halfers. Oh, you can't do it like that, can you? So basically, if she says, yeah, you're going to go on a date, you pay. If not, you go halves. Maybe that's right. Maybe that's really modern. Jessica says, I enjoy being with a gentleman. I like him to be traditional and pay. I think men prefer it that way too. Interesting that point, because I would always feel a little bit weird not paying because I'm still conditioned that way. Though the more I think about it, the more I think... I would always try and pay and then hopefully they would offer, but I'd feel bad at not paying. Shane says, hell no. Women bang on about equality all the time. So if any, they should pay or a minimum go halves. Lee says, without a doubt, I still always pay when we go out 2 years on. Andy says, the bloke should offer on the internet first date. Lady should then offer to go halves. If bloke likes her, then he should pay. If not, go halves. That's a bit weird, isn't it? It's the other way around from the other guy who said if the girl agrees. He's like, if the guy wants to or not. Pete says, too many women like that. Only 3 blokes where I work and first date is a must pay. After that, it's shared. Okay. Chris, I'm just banging through a few more of these. Chris, I always would offer to pay, insist a little, then agree to go halves should your date want to, but maybe I'm old-fashioned. Jenny says, I reckon whoever asks, if you ask someone to go for dinner, you pay, man or woman.
That seemed to be quite a popular choice, that if whoever asks pays.
But as we discovered with Nadia, as we were talking about with Nadia, I think women always are the ones who initiate everything. They let you know whether you can ask them for a date or not. And so it's kind of usually the guy, am I being old fashioned here? Usually ask the girl out?
I don't know. But I was thinking though the other day, what an absolute no-no would be, you know, when you get those vouchers. Taking vouchers to a first date.
No, Groupon date or whatever they're called.
I actually got 2 for 1 on this.
Yeah. What? Do you know what?
That'd be really funny.
There's nothing wrong with that. One of my friends went, I love your calculations where you're going on £20 dinners. Where exactly are you going? I was going, Nando's. Nando's dates. What's wrong with that? Marie says, a gentleman would always pay. Oh, see, that's the thing, isn't it? Katie says, always Dutch. Jenny says, I always pay my own way when I go out. And Amanda says, my son went for dinner with a young lady last week and told me I was old-fashioned because I thought he should pay. You see?
There we go.
There you go. Exactly right. The younger generation are going to think we're nuts that the man pays, because it's just, they're going to go, that's so sexist, aren't they? Oh, why are you doing that? We ran a poll this week. So actually, the poll had a decent turnout, 4,254 votes. That's not bad, is it? That would run in a national newspaper. And the question was, if a man and a woman are going on a first date, should the man always pay? Yes, no, and don't care. Yes got 45%, no got 32%, and don't care got 23%.
Oh, I love apathy.
I always love don't care.
Don't care is funny because you just get to see.
Every time I've ever done a poll anyway, I've done don't care.
I like it because you care enough to vote.
Because what I love about that is people going, yeah, I'll put don't care, I don't care. You know? But anyway, 45%, which is, well, you know, it's nearly 50% mark, nearly half the population. But we don't know the makeup of these people, what sex they are and everything else. But 45% think men should still pay on the first date. I do think it's a serious question, this. Is it just a hangover from the old days? Is it what it is? We just mentioned before, will our children care? Is it a hangover from when men earned and women didn't?
It must be. It must be, mustn't it?
I think it's quite, I get those violins out for men now, ladies, because I think it's tough being a guy at the moment. Just take, for instance.
don't start this sentence.
Bear with me.
What do we have to?
This could be
our last
podcast. No, right. Just feel for us a second, right? You go onto a tube train, and now I know people listen to this all over the country and in Vietnam and everybody else, but you go on a tube train, and traditionally, years ago, the man would stand up for a woman. It's moved now into you stand up for someone who's old or
pregnant
or disability. That's kind of the way it works. However, I've still got this urge to stand up for people, and I look sometimes at women and I think, do they want me to stand up or they don't? And I got so confused by the whole thing that if I stand up, is that insulting? But if I'm sitting down, what am I doing? And so this whole thought process is whirring around in my stupid, ruminating anxiety way, going, oh no, what do I do? So now when I go on a tube, I just don't sit down.
No, it's the easiest way.
Because then I don't have the problem of whether I can stand up.
You don't get that bacteria off the seat either.
Sit down. Oh yeah, there you are. What do you think? That it's also the holding the door thing, right? I've been thinking about the holding the door thing as well, right? I think I always hold the door open for a woman, but
I
also
for anyone.
Hold the door open for a man.
Yes.
And I think everybody should just hold the door open for each other willy-nilly.
Yes. Yeah.
I just think we should all be polite and do it. Paying for a wedding was the other one which came into my mind, bearing in mind I've got three daughters.
Oh, wow. You better start saving.
Not a chance.
Are you,
Not a chance. I'm paying for three weddings unless they do it all together in one big go. It's just that's got to be really old fashioned.
You've got to hope they're all gay so you can share the cost with the other parents. Surely.
Do you think that's still a thing though?
Because
they're 15, so they're potentially only,
10 years away, possibly.
They're potentially only 3 years away, 15, 16, 17. What age should people get married? Some 17, 18, whatever, I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe 10 years, you're right, maybe 20 years. But I mean, God, a dad still forking out, do dads still save up and all that? Is that happening?
They do, I think, but most recently all the weddings I've been to have been paid for by the bride and groom themselves.
That's happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's happening now, yeah. So anyway, equality rolls on. Should we do another? We haven't got time for Ego Corner today, but we've got loads of emails.
Just pretend lots of people have said lots of nice things.
Can we just say thank you to everybody who's? They have actually. Lots of people have sent in lovely things. Yeah, and thank you very much for saying nice things. I'm glad you're all enjoying it. We've got an email here. Morning, Tim. I recently discovered your podcast and listened to a few BBC Sport ones, F1 cricket. You mentioned this morning. I listened while I was on the M1, M25, left at 5:30 to avoid the traffic. You mentioned this morning that you listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm starting to listen to more. Which ones do you recommend? I'm off to the USA on Wednesday and need some more for the flight. I thought the Affair podcasts were great. It took me back nearly 18 years. It ruined my life. I went from three-bed detached to a bedsit. It's brilliant, this, for the Affair thing, isn't it? This, our podcast, because it really, if you are thinking about an affair, just don't. Anyway, kid's great. One is learning to be a pilot. That's pretty cool. And the other's working as a teacher's assistant, looking after autistic child. And that is very cool. And that is a good job because, as Mark knows, if you work in a caring industry, you'll get more out of life. And he says he couldn't be prouder. I'm now incredibly happy with my new wife, 6 years. Would never be no of cheating. Bino, what's the word Bino mean? Bino, B-I-N-O, Bino of cheating. Would never Bino of cheating. never been. Probably took 10 to 15 years to get where I am and this happy. I also thought I should write a book. Never did. One last question. I was wondering, how do you get paid for this? There is no advertisements. Do you get paid as part of Apple Music? I have no idea why this bothers me. LOL. we don't.
Well, thanks for your fair thing anyway.
We don't get paid. We're doing this because we want to do it. It actually costs us money to do it. Though in the future we hope we can make some money. I firmly believe in life to you do stuff because you want to do it, and then you try and make some money out of it. And I just think at the moment we're learning, aren't we? What did you call it the other day, Mark? You call it
soft launch.
Soft launch.
Like a restaurant has.
We're a soft launch. That's what we're doing. Mark and I sat. I can remember the day we sat having a cup of coffee in a high street, and we said, let's do a podcast. And we just came up with some great ideas, and we just ran.
But
with
we didn't
it.
Do any of them.
No, we didn't do any of the good ideas. We did this stuff instead. But it just seemed like a good thing to do. We worked. If anyone doesn't know, Mark used to and me used to work on Virgin, wasn't it?
Yes, it was then.
At the time, now it's called Absolute. Well, we worked together. He was my producer, and he was also on the mic all the time as well. So we had a good laugh there, and we just stayed friends ever since. And yeah, it was just a good chance to work together again. But I just think actually it's a lesson in life to actually look at what you want to do with your career, and actually we've discussed this before, and sort of just choose exciting things to do, and then and give them a go, and make sure you just put some effort into it. Don't always do it for money first. Do it because you want to do it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean jack your job in and just work for free, because that doesn't work. But, you know, if you want to write a book, write it yourself, write it for yourself or write it for your friends. Don't think about, if I write it like this, I might make, if I put a wizard in it, I might make a few quid. You know,
wizards don't make money, Tim. Well, I don't know where you've got that from.
And it will stop you being creative. I think that, I tell you what, that really is the same for music. It seems there was a real turning point in my when I was interviewing bands, where they suddenly started talking about being in
they start using the shifting units.
I'm in promo and stuff like that, and you're like, you're what?
We're doing about 200,000 units a week.
Yeah, I asked one band if they're going to come on Soccer M. They said, we're not in the promo cycle at the moment. I was like, what does that mean? Just turn up because you want to do it, you know? It's like you're in a band, you want to do it. Hey, we had Suggs, right, booked as a guest on Sunday Brunch. And we had someone else who was going to do the song singing at the end of the show, and they had to pull out. They could still come on the show, but they had a sore throat and they couldn't do it. And Suggs went, I'll do it. Right. Suggs,
awesome.
Suggs had been out all night. Yeah. Right? It was Halloween or something. He'd been at a party or something. And great. So he's like, but Suggs is just amazing.
I love Suggs. I used to work with him as well.
He's
such a wonderful fella.
He's one of the great guys of the industry. He just genuinely is amazing. I can't say a bad word about Suggs. And so he goes, I'll do it. I've just got to try and get the keyboard player up, right? Obviously, Mike. And so he starts phoning. He goes, yeah, I've got him. He's coming in. We're getting a cab. And I said, and I was in makeup before the show, and I said,
wear makeup.
I know, none of us do. And Mike was going, have you got Mike? And he's going, yeah, I've got him, he's coming. I said, are you all right about doing this? Because I'm so used to bands only doing something if they're supposed to be doing it. Because it's that's why. He goes, that's why we're in the business, right? We get to play live on TV. It's fantastic. We sell a few tracks, you know, people get to listen to us. And I thought, that's brilliant. That's what it's about, isn't
Surely,
it?
When you're in a band, you're always in a promo cycle.
He's like,
I don't want anyone to hear my music at the moment because we're not in the promo cycle.
Yeah, but that's it. Yeah. But people are like that. Yeah. It's strange, but that's what happened. People, and I think money is the root of all evil, Mark. But I do think money is that thing which stops people from just being creative, and they start getting just sucked into the world of making money. I went from a researcher on The Big Breakfast to present a producer at Soccer AM and took a pay cut. Did you know? Yeah, because I just thought, hold on, I'm never going to get the opportunity to be player manager ever again. You know, I was player manager. It was at that great time as well. There's lots of player managers, you know, Viali and Hullet and all that lot. And I was like, I used to produce, write and present Soccer AM. But I took a pay cut from being I was a producer in the end on The Big Breakfast. I actually took a pay cut. Yeah. But you thought, you're never going to get that opportunity. And I remember once offering, am I banging on too much here? But I offered one, this
guy. It's your podcast, Tim. It's got your name on it.
I offered this guy, right? I said to him, come and work for me. And you can, you know, you could, when I worked, I let everyone do everything because I want people to have ideas and just come up with good stuff. And I said, you'll learn to edit, you'll learn to do everything. Come and work for me on Soccer. He said, the money's not quite enough. And I went, hold on, I think he was like 20 or 19. I said, you're 19 or 20. What do you need money for? Now learn everything. He's still like a jobbing AP. And it's nothing wrong with that, by the way, at all. But I just thought, don't ever give up that valuable experience when you're young. Don't take the money because always wait out. Do what you think you believe in. Anyway, podcasts he wants recommending. Just as a very quick thought, we like all the British ones, don't we, Mark? We listen to all those. Adam Buxton, Richard Herring, they're great.
The Bugle is brilliant.
Atletico Mints, I always like. What's Angelos and Barry from Watford? Some of those just made me laugh so much. Some of those just absolutely crease me up. They just are making that stuff up as they go along, and it's brilliant. I like that. American ones. I really listen to a lot of American ones. I love Sam Harris-y type stuff, and I love the Tim Ferriss stuff. I like all that. I really. Yeah.
Mark Maron for me, the classics. Mark Maron and Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan does really. You have to really be into your podcast because his interviews are 3 hours long.
Yeah, but I like that.
If you like it, you like it.
Yeah, I really do like that. I like it. I really like tuning into something. I struggle with some of those podcasts I mentioned when they're only half an hour long because
Nerdist is good.
I want it more. Yeah, so there's lots of great ones out there. Just keep searching around. But we need to try and introduce more people to being on
Freakonomics. That's interesting. That can be interesting.
Freakonomics is great. Yeah, I always like to listen to that. There's actually too many podcasts. I'm behind on some of them, and it really starts. You know, there's that thing where you get slightly anxious because you're looking at it, and there's all starting to build up.
And your phone starts getting really full,
and you just start thinking, "No, I need to listen to these, but I haven't got time. I've actually got to do some work."
What I do is when they start building up, is I go through deleting all my photos, my WhatsApp conversations, to get more room for podcasts.
I've not got a memory problem at the moment. I went for that huge memory.
Oh, did you?
I think with a phone, you go for the huge memory. Yes. But it costs more, doesn't it?
That's TV money, Tim.
Yeah, TV Tim. TV Tim just looked at TV Tim the other day, tried to experiment by putting his phone up, thinking about maybe we'll do a bit of a feed from this podcast on Instagram stories or something. Dropped it on the floor. First time ever, TV Tim has smashed the screen of his iPhone. So I was thinking, well, I'll buy a new one. I'll upgrade to the new iPhone X.
Oh, No.
How much are they?
I think this is the last iPhone I buy.
Do you know, because I always want the bigger memory, £1,149.
That is TV Tim money, isn't it?
How the hell are they justifying that sort of money for a phone? They've got us locked in though, haven't they, with all our computers and stuff. We need to go Chinese, one of those Chinese makes. They're apparently just as good, but they're...
Huawei, is it?
Huawei to you too. We're all locked in though, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're locked in. Music and everything. Right. Hi, Tim. Who's this from?
I don't know. You got it in front of you.
Doesn't want his name mentioned. I'm not mentioning your name then, mate. Hi, Tim. I met a girl who lives a little further away, and we have had 6 or 7 really good dates.
Don't wait until that indigestion passes. Start again.
no one else is recommending our podcast, are they? Hi, Tim. I met a girl who lives a little further away. We have had 6 or 7 really good dates. After the last date, she stayed over at my house. Woo-hoo. We won't see each other for a few weeks because of work, etc. But I am starting to get the feeling that she is losing interest. Messages are few and far between, when before they were fairly constant. I always have to initiate the messages too. Uh-oh. Should I see how it pans out or actually try and ask her what is going on? It seems strange to me how the interest could just dwindle like that. I'm 31 and she's 32, so thought we would be past the playing the mind game stage. If she wasn't feeling it anymore, I'd be disappointed, but would much rather her just be open and say, as I like her, I've spent a lot of time overthinking, so any advice would be appreciated. Well, firstly, you know exactly what's going on,
yeah,
and that's why you've written it. You know she's lost interest, but the question is, why? Why has she lost interest? I think you're being really clever, by the way. I think you're being really good, because I think what you've done is you've noticed it and you're questioning yourself and you've seen it happen. And you're one of the most important things in life is to actually be honest and just say, I can see what's happening.
A little bit of self-awareness there.
So the question is, why? Is it because she's gone off you? Is it because you live too far away? Does she want a relationship with more contact? Maybe she wants something which is more regular, someone where she's around. The only way to find out is by asking the truth and being prepared to hear the truth. And I think that's the thing, because when you ask her, be prepared that she says, I'm just not interested anymore, because yeah, it could be the answer. Do you know what I think you should do? Because it's very modern. Is I'd ask to FaceTime her. Everyone's got that ability now, haven't they, to FaceTime? What do you mean, no?
Why would you want to do that?
Because then you can see their reactions, Mark. Because words are only
If she's not answering texts, she's not going to answer a FaceTime request, is she?
A third of what you do is words. I'm making these figures up, by the way. A third is tone, and a third is body language. When you're on the phone, you lose a dramatic part of that, which is body language. And so if you can see a face, you can see what she's actually really doing. So I think FaceTiming is cool, especially long distance relationship. Actually, that could be an idea. You could say, can we FaceTime for an hour a day or half an hour a day or something like that? You could watch a TV show together. That's a great idea for a long distance relationship. My friend did that with their dad. My friend did that. How do I say this, right? My friend's daughter did it with her dad. So my friend's husband, who's also my friend. My friends did it with their daughter.
Jesus.
He's a man. My friend's a man and my friend's a woman. And their daughter is a girl. And he went and lived in Spain for a while for work. And they used to sit and watch Saturday evening TV with the dad on FaceTime. How cool is that? Watching the same TV. That is really cool.
Gogglebox.
Yeah, kind of. Anyway, listen, ask her, you've got to ask her the truth. Say it. Say, hey, can I FaceTime you? FaceTime her and then say, listen, so she can see that you're being serious. You say, hey, I'm really fond of you, but I sense you're a little more distance. Why is this? Just leave it there on the table. Then don't make up anything. Just why is this? Just leave it. Leave it there. And then she might hang up. Oh, sorry, connection's gone. See, that's when you see FaceTime. You can see when someone's doing that. Hello, up. And then, listen, if she won't be honest with you, this is the plan. This is where we go with it. If she's not honest with you and, you know, she keeps up that cold treatment where she's just being... Often what people do is they, rather than just switch it off and be honest, they'd just rather just...
Let it dwindle.
Let it dwindle. You need to get out. Because they'll eat you up and you'll end up watching your phone hoping for a text message. And then if she starts just every now and then throwing you a bit, you know, just a little bit of text messages up there, you'll really become unsure of your worth. Your whole ego will be hit, your self-worth will go, and you'll end up getting yourself into a horrible state. So the one thing which I would really recommend is if it starts getting like that, ask her honestly. She doesn't give you an honest answer. Take control of the situation and move on. Because you don't want to be sitting around waiting for someone just to, you know, oh, are they going to text me tonight? They're not going to text me tonight. You know, just move on. You're in 31. I'm 31 and she's 32. You still, you know, still got plenty of time. So don't play games with her and try and be cool. That's the worst thing you can do, I think. Hey, I'm not going to tell. What was it Nadia said the other day? Mirroring. Don't mirror. Just be honest. Just phone her up and say, what's going on? Or FaceTime her. Do you think FaceTime is great, isn't it, for that?
I don't think that's a good idea.
It is a very good idea. I'll tell you what.
It's not a good idea.
No, it is. It's just do you know what, though? The most important thing is tell her how you feel, because it doesn't matter, does it? Don't be cool. Don't go, you know, I'm going to be cool with you. I'm not sure whether I like you or not. Just go, hey, I really like you. I'm really fond of you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's really...
You'll get your answer then, won't you?
But people think it's weak to tell people how they feel. It's actually really strong. I really like you. And they go, well, I don't like you. Then you move on. That's fine. But you just put it out there. You say you like them. Anyway, here is the Twitter address if you've got any problems you want to send in to us.
If you've got a problem with very little meat. Get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
At Tim Lovejoy.
Yeah, it's at Tim Lovejoy. I've got a Twitter, a couple of Twitter ones now, a couple of tweets, problems. Matthew starts by saying, I find people who, this is the sort of thing you've find problem mark. I find people who use really small travel bags on wheels more annoying than I should. How can I overcome my luggage intolerance? I really do think on this is...
I saw your advice on that.
Matthew,
good.
Yeah, you already realise your stupidity of your thought process going on here, because that is just ridiculous. Now you've got to find the humour in it, and then you can laugh every time you encounter people with the small trolley travel bags. Did he mean one of those ones on wheels, like the pilots use and stuff like that? Yeah, find humour in stuff, apparently. If you find humour in stuff, then you could just change it from hating it to thinking, God, isn't that funny now? What annoys me at the moment, let me see if I can do it. What annoys me is how everybody now says new rather than new. Have you noticed that?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you'll notice it now. Everybody says new now instead of new. It's the new thing, and it really bugs me. Maybe I can see the funny side in that. Isn't it funny that they're mispronouncing new to new?
Isn't
new
it funny that they sound really stupid?
I tell you what annoys me as well is my children have to start every sentence with wait, but I've noticed other young people are doing it. Wait, Mark. Wait.
I prefer that to so.
Oh, really? Does that annoy you?
So at the beginning of a sentence.
Let's see the funny side in it.
I'm afraid.
It's funny. Look, that guy started the sentence with so. A lot of people do that on my show, I've noticed. I do too much. That annoys me. I'll tell you what, the thing which annoys me most is not saying thank you at a zebra crossing. Not me, I always say thank you.
Well, you just put your hand up and thank people. I do that all the time.
Just grates me so much. Because I always think... Should I tell you my thought process? I'm in a car.
I'm going to run you over.
Yeah, I'm in a car and you're just flesh and bones, right? I've got metal. What are cars made of these days? I've got whatever my car's made of, I've got that. And it's
metal's a pretty safe bet, Tim.
Do you think cars are made of metal? They're not, are they?
What do you think they're made of?
Fiberglass. They must have moved on. They must have modern materials.
Go outside and tap the bonnet of your car.
Do you think they're metal still? Are they? You're laughing at me. What, F1 cars aren't made out of metal, are they?
You don't drive an F1 car.
No, I know, but I assume we've moved on, technology. What are cars made of? They can't be made out of metal. Anyway, whatever my car is made out of, don't laugh at me like I'm stupid. Right, here we go. Man Googles what a car's made out of to prove a point.
If it is metal, this is the title of the podcast. Deal?
I don't know. Oh, hold on. There we go. Aluminium. Really? Maybe aluminium, some of them, yeah. I think my car might be made out of aluminium. Just looked up my one. Yeah. Okay. I think that's the type of metal. I stand corrected.
So the title of the podcast is What Are Cars Made Out Of Today?
No one's going to click on that, are they?
No.
Win £1 million. Let's call it that. Click here to win £1 million.
Only joking.
Listen
to these two chumps chat for 45 minutes.
I tell you what, if you can guess exactly how many leaves there are in my garden, you could win £1 million. There you go. Anyway, zebra crossing, that annoys me when people do that. So yeah, my car's bigger than them, so I think they should say thank you to me. I think we've answered that one. we have. Just find the humour in it. Maybe when someone doesn't say thank you to me next time, I think, well, I've just saved his life. And that's funny, or her life. Andy says, suffering from man flu. Again, another tweet. Suffering from man flu. Any advice how to battle through it? I think you need to rest and plenty of fluids. Make sure you get calories on board as the body needs energy. None of this stuff is rocket science. You need to keep warm. And as we learn on this podcast, sleep is when the body can heal best. Make sure you get lots of rest and lots of sleep. I'm a firm believer, and I don't know what your employer thinks about this, but if you've got illness, stay at home. I wish it became more commonplace. When I used to do, when I was a producer of Soccer AM and The Boss, when someone got ill, I used to say, just don't come in because we don't want to all get it.
Because I've been very much at the end of you, your lack of sympathy when I said I was ill. Yeah, you I don't want you coming around here.
I don't want to get ill.
I know, but it was just the way it was said.
What? Do you want me to sugarcoat it?
Well, yeah.
I really like you, Mark. I really... I think you're really good and a great personality. I like you. You're quite funny. And, you know, you're talented. You're
Now I just don't believe you.
You're a good writer. But could you not come round here because I don't want to get ill?
Yeah, we go.
Is that better?
Just that last bit. Don't come round here because I don't want to get ill.
Yeah, but that's what I said, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
What did I say?
I actually don't think we should indulge this question because he's used the phrase man flu. I think there's no time. I've got no time for that. That
does annoy me. The man flu thing does annoy me.
Girl pneumonia.
Yeah, it does. It does annoy me that's still doing the rounds because, it means men can't get ill, doesn't it? You can't say you're ill anymore. Oh, you got man flu. You've got that man flu. You need to take responsibility for your life, Andy. That's what you need to do. So few people do. It's one of the big things. You're ill. Take responsibility, look at yourself, go, I need to rest here. You've got to cancel everything to get over it. If you keep going out and partying and you keep going to work and stuff, you're not going to get over it. Stay at home, say to your boss, Tim Lovejoy on the Dear Lovejoy podcast. Actually, don't say me, say Alan Titchmarsh. Alan Titchmarsh.
Bobby Davro says.
Bobby Davro said, I'm ill and I need to stay at home. Just name check a TV presenter. It's all the rage.
Maybe a current one.
Moira Stewart said, anyway, do you want to hear some pearls of wisdom?
I was just going to very briefly say, enjoy the illness.
Enjoy the illness.
No, the thing where, you know when you go, I'm too ill to go to work. So you just take the medicine and then just get the duvet on the sofa in front of Netflix and just go... I haven't got to do anything today and I've got a perfectly valid reason for it. It's amazing.
Yeah, but you feel terrible.
Get over that bit. Enjoy the positive of it is you can see...
All right.
You know that thing where you go...
See the humour in it?
No, not see the humour, but see the enjoyment in it. You know when...
Okay, I get it.
Did you see what I mean?
Yeah.
When you ever sit in the middle of the day and watch stuff on TV, you're thinking, oh, I really should be doing something
else.
Yes,
it takes the guilt away.
It's perfect.
Brilliant, just, yeah.
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 Guilt-free... Guilt-free Netflix.
Guilt-free Netflix and chill. Right, do you want to hear some pearls of wisdom? Life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school.
TV team in the house. Life hacks. Pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
So the first one I thought I'd do, Mark, is just change it up a bit here. I don't know whether you like this idea or not, but I don't know if you know, but I'm on a show which has cooking on it on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, you don't do that much cooking though, do you?
No, I don't, but through the process of osmosis, I've learned how to cook a few odds and sods. Yeah, I can actually, but I just thought there'd be a really good life lesson in how to cook a perfect steak. I don't know whether you think this is a good idea or not, but I don't know if you it could save your life one day, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how, but it could. But I'm not sure everyone knows how to cook the perfect steak. Do you think you do? Do you cook steak?
Well, I cook it. Yes, I do, and I know how to cook
don't
it.
Tell me. Don't tell
I
me.
I was cooking. I was just going to... Just Go let on. Me finish all right, the actual
all right,
sentence.
All right,
I can know how to cook it for myself, how I like it.
Oh. Well, I know how to cook it that everybody will like it. And so I thought I'd just give you the general tips on how to do it. I just thought because some people don't know out there how to do it. And apologies if you're a vegetarian or vegan because this part of the show. Actually, no, maybe
just,
you can give some cook.
Change it for a mushroom. Big portobello mushroom.
No, Mark. Right. Number one. I've got 9 points here. Number one. If you can, buy it a few days before. Open it, get it out of that plastic. It doesn't like being in plastic, the steak. Leave it in the fridge to age a bit. Get it used to your house, get it used to the surroundings, leave it in the fridge, and it will slowly start to discolour.
Go green.
What I do, no, it doesn't. It slowly starts aging. What I like to do is I like to season it as soon as it comes into the house. So it sort of really starts getting into the meat. That might be wrong, though. Let me know if that is wrong, but that's what I like to do. Number two, get it to room temperature before you cook it. Very, very important. Number three, season well with salt and pepper. You can do that.
You've done that.
I've already done it, but you could do it then if it isn't the right way to do it at the beginning. Four, cut off. This is the genius bit. You cut off the fat and you dice it. Okay. Then you get the pan as hot as you possibly can. Get it hot and get it hotter. If you can get it as hot as the surface of the sun, you're cooking. That's where you're going for. Then number six, you put the diced fat into the pan. This is the fat you're going to cook it in, okay? You're going to cook it in its own fat. That is why it's going to taste amazing. You cook the steak so it's got nicely cooked on the outside. You've got to keep it still pink in the middle. Agreed on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Then at the end of the meal, you put the diced fat, which by then will be all really lovely and crunchy. You put it on top of the piece of meat and then you leave it to sit for a couple of minutes. Maybe put some tin foil over it just so it can keep warm, yes?
Can I suggest just a knob of butter, proper butter on the top just afterwards, just so it's
got that. I've heard people do that. Yeah, there are a lot of the big...
What they say is don't cook in butter, use it for flavour.
Yeah, baste it at the end is what a lot of people do. They baste it, they cook it in there. Yeah, you could do that. Just gives it that extra little bit of sheen. And then obviously serve it with English or Dijon mustard. Anything else you want to add to that, Mark?
Yeah.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pan as hot as you can.
I reckon that's your best life hack you've ever done. Because it made sense and you'd thought about it.
Are you feeling hungry?
I am.
Life hack number two. If you ask someone if they want to do something at the weekend and they say, I'm not sure, make other plans because they're waiting for something better to come along. Yeah. That is a really good life hack. You've had your chance. That is, but in your mind, you go, hey, do you want to do something? They say, no, you've had your chance. Now get to the back of the queue. That's it. I'm finding something else to do. When they phone you up and they say, hey, I'm around now. What can I do? You've got to use those words. You had your chance. Get to the back of the queue. Now, this is one that I read. I like reading these, you see. So I've read it and I don't know how true it is, so I wouldn't mind someone to write in and let us know. When booking airplane seats, book the middle seat in the center aisle to get the chance of having all three seats to yourself if the plane's not full. Does that work? Because if that does...
I'm very much an aisle person.
Good. But do you think that hat works?
Why are you laughing at that phrase?
Because it just sounds so ridiculous. I'm an aisle person. Who's an aisle person?
I am. I like the freedom to be able to... Because I don't get annoyed when other people go past me. It doesn't bother me if I have to get up for them to go to the loo.
Yeah.
But the crippling embarrassment and guilt I feel when I have to get up every 25 minutes to use the toilet.
Really?
So I'd rather just be on the aisle.
Right. So it's all toilet-based.
Oh, yeah. Everything's toilet-based, even my humour.
Don't drink too much before you get on a plane. I mean, if you work for an... I tell you what, if you work for an airline, please, if you're a pilot, an air... What they call these days? What's the PC term?
Flight attendant.
If you're any of the things who work on any of the people...
Trolley dolly.
If you're any of the people who work on a plane, can you let us know the hacks, the things that we should learn from... doing travel, if that is a fact that you put the middle one.
I think you've just come up with another segment here.
Oh, hacks from your job.
Yes. Professional life hacks. Pro life hacks.
Okay, so how does that work then?
Anyone who works in a shop or in any sort of industry.
Yeah, how to beat the system.
How to, just like tips.
Or hacks, yeah, tips, yeah. That'd be good. Will it work? Let's start. Let's start by really appealing to anyone who works in the airline industry. If you've got any really good little tips of people love flying.
Any industry. I think we open that up to. That'd be amazing.
How we do for time? Should we do a Dear Abby? You don't like Dear Abby, do you?
Not Dear. What, the agony aunt? No, I like her.
Well, it is Dear Abby this week because that's the one I've just read. But you don't like agony aunt, do you?
What do you think? It's getting a bit lame, isn't it? We're at 50 minutes.
You want to axe it?
Yeah. I was going to say, let's ask the listeners, but it's going to be about 3 days before they hear it.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll axe Agony Aunt just for you, Mark, even though I feel quite sad about it because it's been with us since the beginning. Is there any way we could just keep it sitting there on the shelf in case we need to use it again.
What, as a sort of filler?
When we run out of ideas. Why don't we think of some more ideas? If you've got any ideas
that involves for, work, doesn't
yeah,
it, Tim?
We can do that. But if you've got any ideas for the Dear Love Joy podcast, keep them to yourself. No, just send them in. Honestly, send them in. That'd be brilliant. Can't wait. But that's it for this week's show. You want to contact us at Tim Lovejoy or dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com is
well,
the email
remembered.
Address. Yeah, and you can also subscribe to us and you can give us 5 stars. And we will see you next week, hopefully before Monday, with a Megan Hine interview.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll see you next Monday for one of these as well.
Cool.
So see you soon.
Bye.